Tonight, it's my joy to share on behalf of the elders and the staff just a little bit of what's gone on already this year and what to look forward to in the rest of the year. I am always amazed when these things come together and I begin to sort of see the comprehensiveness of what goes on around here at your ministry. You know, the church is represented as a body. And in a body, as in your physical body, in the body of Christ, every part, every member plays a role. And the reason all of this ministry happens, the reason there's so many things that go on around here is because you are engaged in using the gifts God has given you for the building up of the body as a whole. And I want to commend you for that, for your faithful ministry. And you will see that reflected in what I will share tonight. And of course, this is really not a full picture. We try to give a little fuller picture at the annual meeting, which comes in January. This is just an update as to where we've been so far this year and what we're looking in the coming 6 months. But it is still a remarkable testimony of your faithfulness to use the gifts God has given you in this place. And I'm always amazed, always encouraged, and so grateful for you. I brag on you as a church often when I am in other places because of your love for Christ, your love for the Word, your love for each other, and your love for the church. You know, it's right that we do that. I still remember a conversation I had with someone who was struggling with their own spiritual life and commented that they were going to pull back from the church because they just needed to love Christ more. There's something very wrong-headed about that thinking, because Christ loves his bride more than he loves anything else. And for us to love Christ means we love what he loves. We love the church, which he gave himself for. And so I commend you and thank you for your faithful ministry in that way. All right, well, you know where I have to begin when we talk about what's coming, and that is with the teaching. Specifically, I know there's teaching that happens all over this campus, and you enjoy that in many different venues, but specifically what happens here in the worship center. On Sunday morning, as the fall unfolds, the rest of summer and fall, I am looking at continuing with the Sermon on the Mount. I know you don't believe this, but we're actually going to finish chapter 6 in the next few weeks, and we'll move into chapter 7. I can't promise you that we will finish chapter 7 this year. Might edge into next year because there's a lot of really rich material in all of the Sermon on the Mount, particularly beginning in the middle of chapter 7 toward the end. There's much that really speaks to the issues of our day as Christ deals with the reality of the exclusivism of the gospel. There are only two gates, there are only two ways, and those two ways end up in only two places. And he explains the danger of that and the danger of false teachers that direct people to the wrong path and the danger of false profession, people who connect themselves to Christ in some way but have a false profession based on mere attachment rather than true discipleship. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" So it's going to be a rich time as all of that unfolds, but I can't promise it'll end this year, but I think it will end sometime next year. And then, Lord willing, I might do something in between, but I'm hoping to go to the book of Romans. And I'm really excited about that. There's so much there on Sunday morning, Lord willing. Now, this fall, in addition to working through the Sermon on the Mount, I also want to address the distinctives of our church. If you've become a member, you've read those distinctives, you know what they are. But there are a lot of folks who come to our church, who attend our church, who come from a lot of different venues. When I first came here 10 years ago, most of the people who came and visited with us were from other Bible churches. If they weren't just coming to faith in Christ, they were coming from another Bible church where the theology is similar, different in some ways, but similar in others. But that's not true anymore. In reality, we've got a lot of folks coming, and you meet them from a lot of different places. And we just want to address, the elders and I want to address those issues that make us distinct from other churches. That's where the rubber meets the road. For example, the sufficiency of Scripture. And what does that mean, and how does that flesh out in our lives? the reality of a changed life. You can't be a follower of Jesus Christ and live like a pagan for years and years and years. There's no such thing as a carnal Christian who lives a flatline Christian life forever. We want to address those issues. The issue of the 6 days of creation, which makes us very distinct in today's world, and others as well. So anyway, Lord willing, this fall, we'll address those. I haven't decided whether to do that with the beginning of September or just continue in the Sermon on the Mount and do those a little later, but they will come, Lord willing, this fall. Now, on Sunday evening, when I am speaking, I will continue to work through Mark, and I think we'll likely come to the end of Mark sometime this year. And I think at that point, I haven't decided for sure, but I think I'm going to go to the Old Testament and begin an Old Testament book on Sunday evening when I'm speaking. I also want to do, I've mentioned this before and just haven't put it in the schedule, but I want to do a special message that's more of some practical direction on shaping your life and making decisions the right way in light of all the pressures of life, living by the compass and not the clock. That is, directing what we do by what's really important in life rather than living based on what's urgent. I'm just going to share some principles. I've shared it at the Shepherd's Conference and other places, and I just want to share that with you at some point because I think it'll be helpful to you as it has been to me through the years. And then, of course, our pastors will continue to do their own special series, which we've all enjoyed. I think it's been great for all of us. I've enjoyed it, and I think it's been great for you to hear the same thing from other voices teaching God's Word, and we're all encouraged by the gifts God has given them as well. So that's the teaching as we look to the fall. Now, of course, as we look to the fall, there are a lot of ministries cranking up. We're enjoying the Children's Summer Sunday School right now, but Sunday School will kick off with Children's Ministries on September 8th. The adult Sunday schools will continue, of course, and the home fellowships will begin in the fall. Along with the Sunday School for Children, you have Awana and the choir, which will begin. And those of you who are newer to our church, maybe haven't seen some of these ministries, some folks have come this summer even, make sure you note these, and you can ask questions or give us a call. Of course, the youth and our college ministry Roots and 128 are meeting year-round, but those ministries will continue in the fall. Also, age-specific ministries that you need to be aware of is our Foundations group with young families, the Beginnings group with young marrieds, and single-minded, unmarrieds 40-plus, and then the Heritage Fellowship 60-plus. So note those things. I already mentioned men of the Word. You'll be getting, I don't know, Rocky, we already sent out the schedule for that? Yeah, it'll be coming, but I think you've got some information about what to be preparing for, but be cranking up with that, and we'll keep you updated with the schedule in the future. He and I have been working through that together. The Women's Bible Study, the Titus II groups, and on September 5th, the International Friends at Countryside. You know, those of you who are looking for a daytime ministry, an evangelistic ministry, an outreach ministry that you can connect with, I really strongly encourage you to consider International Friends. That ministry started now, I don't remember, 4 or 5 years ago, something like that, and just with a handful of folks, 5 to 7 people, I think, came the first week. And now I think that ministry has grown where it's not unusual on a given week to see 80-plus there, people from all over the Metroplex who speak different languages and who are just various stages of learning English. Some of them understand a little bit but speak no English. Others of them a little bit better than that. But it's a wonderful ministry. I encourage you to consider it. It cranks up on Thursday on September 5th. Home fellowships also begin with the fall, and I would just again urge you, again, if you're newer to our church, or even if you're not, but you've never really connected with a home fellowship, it's so important to connect with a smaller group of believers where you can be encouraged and strengthened. Some of you have that through ministries you're involved in. Others of you are engaged in Sunday school classes or whatever, but the home fellowships provide a great venue for that. There are 14 locations scattered all over the Metroplex. They meet Tuesday through Friday nights and different nights, and so you can find a night that works for you and a location that works for you. And this fall, we'll be studying Colossians. a wonderful book that upholds the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, His glory, His beauty. There's no one like Him, and Colossians will give you a taste of that and the repercussions of that in life. There's a new ministry, and one way it's new. This is the ministry itself has existed a little bit, but the guys asked me to share this with you just so you're aware of it, because there's a lot of work that has gone on. The ministry's called The Word Unleashed, and it's basically my teaching ministry expanded online. It's at thewordunleashed.org. The ministry leader of this, who volunteers countless hours to put this all together, is David Sparks. But the program itself is produced by Ambassador Advertising Agency, the agency that I worked with when I was at Grace to You for many years, helped with Grace to You in a variety of ways. And they actually are, in some ways, the fathers of Christian radio, for good and for bad. But they have, through the years, worked with Chuck Swindoll and John MacArthur and et cetera. Not that we're at that level at all. We're not. But they do what they do very well. And that's my point. And they're able to help us put together a professionally produced program. They're just now sort of getting all of this online, the guys who are working with it. And even so, even though it hasn't really been promoted, they're seeing about 2,500 hits a month, people coming and connecting with the material that's there. 18 series have been posted. 95 different programs are online, and if there isn't already, there soon will be a link to all 10 years of the messages that I've done here at Countryside. Now, Andrew Hale put together a little video promo of the ministry. It's very short. Let me just play it for you. This is really well done. You know, I love that concept of the Word as a lion. As Spurgeon said, you don't need to defend the Bible. The Bible is more than capable of taking care of itself. You just need to open the cage and let it out. And that's really what we as teachers do, isn't it? I mean, we basically let the lion out by explaining its meaning and letting its power reach into all our lives. And so that's the concept behind that. And I'm excited about that and where the Lord will take it. We'll see. Only He knows that. But here's some information about it. Basically, they tell me that since I didn't count these up. Somebody did. 721 sermons since I arrived at Countryside in 2003. And 69% of those sermons, 496 of them, have been transcribed by volunteers who have typed out every word I've said. I guess every stumble and every sneeze and every But I appreciate the work they've done. 122 programs have been completed, and 55 of those transcripts are now available online. Most of those from the Sermon on the Mount series? That many messages? Wow. Transcriptionists, there are 28 altogether who have done that over the years. There are currently 5 who are serving, typing up messages. If you are enjoy that kind of thing, would like to go over material, we could certainly use your help in that. Also, we're beginning to lightly edit the transcripts as we're putting them online, and there are 3 who have served in that as we're getting that off the ground, and there are 2 who are currently serving. Again, if you have editorial skills, you can let us know, but that's a ministry that I'm excited to see how the Lord will use. It's His Word. You know, this is not about me. This is about the Scripture and what changes us all as the Lord works through His Word. Again, with the fall, there are the mid-year ministries, the mid-week ministries that crank up. And I mentioned first here, I just have these in chronological order through the week. I mentioned the ladies BSF that meets here on Monday night, not because it is directly affiliated with our church, but because they meet here, and we certainly appreciate the emphasis on studying the Scripture together. Our own women's ministry Bible study meets on Wednesday morning, and they're studying Hope in God by Christy Gant. The Titus 2 groups, Practicing Discipleship. And ladies, they meet on various weekdays, morning and evening, so at different times, so you can connect with one of those groups if you're not already connected. And let me just encourage you. I think it's so important, as I said already, to get involved, if you can, in a smaller group context besides just sitting in a worship center with 450 or 500 other people, because it gives you a chance to be exposed life on life, to be encouraged, to be strengthened and built up. So that may be a way for some of you ladies to really learn what it's like to learn from the older women, and if you're an older woman, to teach the younger women those priorities that we're instructed in Scripture. On Wednesday evening, there are a number of ministries that happen both on and off campus. The children's choirs on the home fellowship weeks, the youth, the college ministry roots, 128. They meet off campus, the single young adults, and foundations, young families, on home fellowship week. So again, if you are new and find one of those groups and can connect with them, that would be great. I've already mentioned International Friends on Thursday morning. And Beginnings, which is the group for the newly married, Thursday evening on non-home fellowship weeks. So note that and be a part of that if you can. Some special events that already have happened so far this year. Of course, we started in February with our Essentials Conference. I'll mention more about that in a moment. Our Backyard Bible Clubs in March, and in May, the All-Church Picnic with a wonderful turnout of folks. And then we just finished, of course, VBS. And this summer, as well as this winter, are the men's basketball leagues. And Justin was telling me, I think there are about 50 guys that are involved in that ministry. So, guys, if you're, I started to say talented in that area, but I don't think that's required, is it? No. So, anyway, come out and enjoy. Through the fall, as we look at special events, there's the ministry fair that's coming up. Now, this is really, really important for all of us, but especially for those of you who are newer to our church. If you have not found a place yet to serve and to minister, this is the best way to connect. Coming up in August, early in August, we're going to have our ministry fair. We'll take the gym, and there'll be tables and booths set up, and not all the ministries, but most of the ministries of our church will be represented there. And you can walk through, get some information, meet the people involved, see what's involved, and begin to pray about how you can connect and serve. So I hope you'll do that. I really strongly encourage you to do that in early August. Our children's basketball camp, which has been not only a great for the people of our church, but again, Justin's telling me it's served as a great outreach to other families. We've had a lot of other folks come and join us. So you be in prayer about that and involve your own family if you're able. Men, the men's retreat's coming up in October. And in October as well, the Countryside Fair. Thanksgivings are happening in November. And so schedule that. On a Sunday evening, we'll take time to gather in homes around the Metroplex and really thank the Lord together for his goodness in our lives. And then the Christmas concert series in December, along with Operation Christmas Child. Now, while I'm talking about special events, it's not this year, but it's next year. It's coming. Israel 2014. The dates are October 28th to November 7th of 2014. And if you're interested, if you want information, there's some little pamphlets out in the foyer, or you can go to inspirationcruises.com/CBI for Countryside Bible Israel. I believe that's what that stands for. And go get some information. By the way, this company, I should just mention to you, this is the company that I worked with through my years at Grace to You. The first time I took a group to Israel, it was from Grace to You's listening family. And we took, I think it was 10 buses, 400 people. And I worked with these folks, and they did a great job for us. They've since taken another Grace to You trip. I think maybe at least one more, maybe two more. I was on one of the second one. I think there may have been a third one. after I left Grace to You. And then in addition to that, they have also helped with the other trips that Grace to You has taken, and they also do trips by some of the other leaders in the Christian world. And so they're a very reputable organization. I've known the owner for 20 years, I think. So it's a joy to travel with them again. They'll do a great job for us. So far, we have registered 60 people. That's hard for me to believe. We're a year and a half out, about a year and a half, and 60 people have signed up to go. So make sure, if you're interested, that you you let us know that. You get registered, get the information, and get registered as soon as you can. Also, as we look at special events, this past February, we had our Essentials Conference. And the emphasis, remember, we're walking through those essentials, both for your own Christian life and for the church as a whole. And one of those is evangelism. And we were really encouraged and strengthened by Richard Phillips. I hope you have, and Randy Smith, Chris Reiser, and Brian Murphy, I hope you haven't forgotten what you were challenged with. And I hope you're continuing to reach out into a few lives. People, remember, you were going to pray for, and you were going to find ways to reach into their lives. I hope that you're continuing to do that. And if you aren't, then this is a reminder to follow through on what you intended to do and hope to do. Begin to pray for those folks again and to consider practical ways to reach into their lives. So as we look forward to this next year, 2014, the theme is going to be fellowship. And believe it or not, that is not just coffee and donuts. Fellowship, biblically speaking, involves a lot more than that. And we're looking forward to studying that. It's crucial to our Christian lives. It really is. And we'll look at it February 7 through 9, 2014. Mark those dates on your calendar. Friday night, Saturday morning, and all day Sunday. And we are still finalizing the rest of the roster of speakers, but John has agreed to come back and to minister. He's excited about doing this theme, and so he will be here with us in February. So you be in prayer about that, but make sure you put that on your calendar, block it off, so you don't schedule other things during that period of time. You know, one of the important things that we do as a church is missions, both individual, local missions, and internationally. And we have some wonderful missionaries. I'm not going to go through every detail here, but I just want you to notice a little bit of the breadth of ministry in our own Jerusalem, if you will, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. These are in alphabetical order, just to give you a sort of rundown. Don and Kathy Anderson, who minister in Dallas-Fort Worth jails, and Don's been here and shared his ministry with you, and we've prayed with them. Rich and Paula Barnes, Rich pastors in Lilliput, England, and a short-term missions trip has happened this year as well, and late last year. Ernie Black serves young men incarcerated in DFW jails and in youth facilities. Many of you know Ernie and benefit from his ministry here. A lot of you in the youth know Ernie and are challenged by him, and it's our joy to support him, be a part of what he's doing in reaching these kids. Doug and Michelle Briggs, who are sort of here, they've just taken a little trip with their family now, trying to get their kids settled and visit with some family. They'll be back in town for a short period of time before they head back to Asia, where Doug does medical missions. And as I said, they're here basically to get their two of their kids, Nicole and Michael, sort of established, and then they'll be heading back over to Asia. Doug has a remarkable, remarkable ministry there. And if you aren't aware of that, I encourage you to ask some of us and let us tell you how you can better pray for him. It is amazing. He was telling me that he's reaching right now. There's a people group that are coming to find him because of his medical skills. And I'm not going to mention specifically where he serves. Many of you already know that because I don't want to put him at any sort of risk. But he serves in a very difficult place. And there's a people group that are coming in van loads to find him because of his medical skills. And he says, not only have they never heard of Jesus Christ, but they don't even know that there are religions other than Buddhism. And he is having an amazing opportunity to share the gospel with them, to reach into their lives. And so just a really remarkable, remarkable story. Duane and Marilyn Gibson, very faithful, down in a hard place in Mexico and Latin America, distributing literature and equipping and training pastors. And we've had a chance to partner with them. I'll mention that in another slide in a moment. But they are faithful missionaries. Cornelius and Angelique Gray are just sort of getting established. They've been here with us. They are ministering, going to be ministering in the Middle East in Islamic territory. And they are currently studying Arabic and the local culture in order to be able to reach out with the gospel. Mike and Jane Gendron, their ministry to Catholics based here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But, of course, Mike travels and speaks all around the globe. Taylor and Meredith Lassiter are Awana missionaries in this area. Gus Matero. Gus is here tonight. Gus, welcome back, brother. Stand up and let everyone see you. Now, I have to tell you, Gus is one of my heroes because Gus has faithfully served the Lord in the work of evangelism and reaching out with the gospel for many, many years. When did you start, brother? What year? 1969. Now, I asked Gus if I could share this with you. He just got back from a one-month trip to Siberia, and where he shared the gospel in very difficult situations, very difficult circumstances. And Gus is 87 years old. And that's probably, his wife wants that to be his last trip, right? I think that's, he's not sure of that yet, but it may be. But regardless, he has been such a faithful, faithful example of serving Christ and spreading the gospel in whatever stage of life and experience you are. And we're so grateful for you, Gus. Thank you, brother. Gaynell Newport, working with the women in French-speaking West Africa and continuing the ministry with the women there, that the ministry that was begun with Steve, our dear brother who's now with the Lord. Mark and Katie Scarborough, they're ministering in the Middle East as well, and in an Islamic setting, but among believers, studying Arabic and the local culture. They hope to be able and are planning toward training Christian pastors to go back into their own countries in the Islamic world and equip them to train their own congregations. So it's an exciting ministry. Joe and Christy Swanson. Joe has, you know, he was in Mexico. We had to call him back because he was flying down there transporting missionaries, and it just got too dangerous with the drug cartels and all that was happening there. They had explosions and shootings outside their home. So the elders said, we want you to sort of reposition your family for a ministry. And now they serve with UIM and Moody Aviation up in the Northwest, equipping and training missionaries. And Joe's excited about that ministry. Just talked to him recently. Rhonda Thorne is transitioning from Asia, where she has served there in India, to the U.S., and her plan at this point is to minister to foreign students at College Station. So you be in prayer for her as she is working through that transition, and the missions committee as they're working with her. Also, Dallas Turner with onboard ministry in Kenya, a couple of trips in 2013, and Sammy and Nicole Williams. We just got back from there, a group of us. I'll mention that now, in fact, on the short-term missions. There were a couple of groups that went out this year on short-term missions trips to help in the Mexican Pastors Conference. In this year, two of our groups, students' groups, went down and supported Duane and Marilyn Gibson, worked with the children and youth, and then some of our pastoral staff went down and taught. And it's been great. It's been we can't go really across the border. We can't take our kids over there because of the dangers, but we can bring them just across the border and serve and minister to them. And it's been a great time to equip them and minister to these pastors who have really no great resources available to them. And our guys have been a great encouragement to them. And I think that ministry will continue to grow in the years ahead. A number of individuals, and by the way, I think I mentioned high school. The high school group went for one of those conferences and supported everything and worked with the children and youth, and the college went with another group. As far as individuals, India, a large group of us as individuals, just got back from India in June. I went and taught at a conference there for church leaders, And Brian went with me and was a wonderful encouragement to the people who attended, to the pastors as well as to me. And then Jonathan went, a third elder went, and Jonathan worked with the rest of the folks you see there to run a fabulous children's program, sort of a vacation Bible school on steroids, because it was like 9 hours a day or something really, really challenging, and they did a great job. Kenya in June, Dallas Turner and Chris Ryan went over to Kenya. And also in June, Kari Chalgren to England and Terry Brabon to South Africa. So our church continues to reach out, and as those opportunities come up, I would encourage you to consider those if you can. Local missions, our backyard Bible clubs, that's what we really did at spring break. Instead of feed our kids, this year we did backyard Bible clubs, and we had 5 homes where we had these clubs, and more than 110 kids attended. And the last night, a number of parents came, and we had a chance to reach into their lives. So you pray for fruit from those backyard Bible clubs here in our area. Obviously, part of our outreach. And the reason I list this here is I want you to be praying even now about who you can invite to the Christmas concert series. Christmas is a great time. I know it seems a long time away, but it's a great time to reach out to the lives of people that you know, to invite them to come to a musical concert. At the end of it, I share the gospel, and it's a great way for you to maybe take them out for a piece of pie or cake afterwards and sit over coffee and talk about the truth of Christmas and share the gospel with them. So I hope you'll be thinking and praying about how you can do that. We see that as a strategic way to reach out at that time of year, so think about it. I mentioned the International Friends Ministry already and the youth ministry. And the one I haven't mentioned here is the medical team outreach. Now, this is through Grace of Grapevine. And we as a church, some of the nurses and doctors in our church, as well as others who go and help in various ways, translation and so forth, they staff the clinics over at Grace of Grapevine one night each month. These are people who don't have insurance, who have significant medical issues, and don't have anywhere to turn. And we have a chance to serve them in this way and, of course, minister to them with the gospel as well. So I'm excited about that ministry. Now let me move to a couple of issues that it seems strange for us to even have to be talking about, but because of the age in which we live, it's unfortunately a necessity. The elders have recently discussed, in light of all of the things that are going on with same-sex marriage and so forth, that we change our bylaws. Our bylaws and constitution allow the elders to do that, so we have discussed these changes, these proposed changes, and we have to give notice to, you know, to ourselves, really, of an official meeting to discuss the change of the bylaws, to an official discussion of the bylaws rather than a vote. And that has taken place. The vote is scheduled, and one of the upcoming meetings, we will have a formal vote on these proposed changes to the bylaws. But the first one pertains to same-sex marriage, and this is the proposed change. And again, this may the wording may change in some way. There may be something added, but this is the gist, just so you know. Countryside Bible Church affirms the biblical definition of marriage as being one man united with one woman, from Genesis 2, 23 and 24. Based upon this definition, no portion of the grounds or physical plan of Countryside Bible Church shall be utilized for the purpose of performing a marriage ceremony, civil, military, or otherwise, which purports to wed two individuals of the same sex. No portion of the grounds or physical plant of Countryside shall be used for the celebration or acknowledgement of such a union by the means of a reception or any other gathering. Finally, no marriage ceremony between two individuals of the same sex shall be performed by any member of the staff, elder, deacon, or representative of Countryside Bible Church. That just, it ultimately doesn't protect us from the potential of legal ramifications that may be coming from the government, but it helps, and it gets it on record that this is what we believe, and it's what we believe biblically. And so just be aware of that. The other proposed change is another one that seems odd to have to even say. This is sort of self-explanatory, but perhaps you have heard recently California passed a law in which they have mandated that a person can decide can simply say what sex they are, and then they are required by law to be able to go to that restroom. And so we feel it's important to get this in the bylaws because of what's coming. And there have even been other states that have discussed it. I'm not sure it's actually passed yet, but hopefully Texas will be one of the last. But regardless, here's what we've written. All lavatories, restrooms, bathrooms, or bathroom facilities of Countryside Bible Church shall be designated for use by specific gender. Gender shall be defined as the physiological sex, male or female, of an individual at the time of their birth. Violation of this policy, excluding, of course, young children or special needs children accompanied by a parent, shall result in the immediate expulsion of the offending individual or individuals from the grounds of Countryside Bible Church. So just know that's we believe that's really important. We're happy for anyone to attend our church. When I was at Grace Church, one of my last couple of months there, I got a desperate call one Sunday morning from the security, and they said, "Tom, we have a serious problem." And I said, "Well, what is our serious problem?" They said, "A van load of transvestites have just showed up." And I said, "Well, are they causing any problems?" They said, "Well, no, they look like they're just going to attend the service." I said, "Wonderful. We're happy to have them. Just don't let them go to the women's restroom." And that's how we feel. We want anybody to be exposed to the truth of the gospel. We want to welcome them and show them the love of Christ. But we also want to be respectful of how God has created his world. And we think that's very important. All right, let me move on to a couple of other issues. Online church directory. This has been coming for some time, but the online directory is now available. But you need to understand a couple things about it. You're going to be getting, by the way, an email this week with details. So, you know, if I convolute things right now because I'm not up to my neck in this, please forgive me. But you'll get an email that'll explain it. Trust that more than you trust what you're about to hear from me. But members and regular attendees who opt into the directory will be visible in this directory. So you have to actually opt in intentionally. We won't include people in the directory who don't make it a point to opt in. So I would encourage you to do that. Just go sign in at countrysidebible.org. Click on Resources, CBC Directory, and then opt in. And you can do that under Privacy Settings. And you just say, I want everyone to see. And by everyone, it doesn't mean everyone in the world. It means everyone who's a part of this part of our website, okay? So you just check that, and you'll be able to be visible in the members directory, and you will be able to see others in the members directory who have agreed as well to opt in. And you can also, with that, upload an individual photo. Not a family photo, but an individual photo for each person. Hope you'll do that. That's a huge help as we all get to learn new people and have a chance to put names and faces together. So, you know, I encourage you to do that as you're able. And as I said, if you forget everything I just said, there's an email coming this week with all the details. Please just follow that, and hopefully you can even just click, and it'll make it simple for you. A couple of major facilities projects that have happened. This is something all Christians appreciate. A new commercial coffee brewing system in the Fellowship Hall kitchen. That's allowed us, one of our dear brothers showed up hours ahead of time plugging in this collection of coffee pots all over the Fellowship Hall for too long. And we said we need to upgrade that significantly, and so that has been added. A new permanent pathway lighting from the courtyard down to the children's building. That's a wonderful pathway, isn't it? I'm so grateful, by the way, for Tony Moorhead and all the crew that deal with our landscaping. It's just magnificently beautiful all year round, and we don't take that for granted. But now you can see it and see your steps as you walk down to the children's building. In here, new skylights and roof gutters, as well as we remodeled the nursery room, updated the fellowship hall entrances. Helped restretch some of that carpet because of the wear that it gets. And this carpet was cleaned, and I think we've got a few more years left in it before we have to look at replacing it. An audiovisual sort of technical update. We're grateful for Les and the team that works with him. They developed a campus-wide 5-year strategic plan, not only to meet our current technical needs, but also to prepare for a transition to a new worship center that may be coming, hopefully is coming in the future. They've initiated a comprehensive training program as well as improved the video streaming and the overflow in a variety of ways. Now let me get into a couple of financial slides just to tell you where we are. This is through June 13th. Now remember, our fiscal year runs from October through September. So as of June 13th, the contributions were at $2.4 million, ministry expenditures at $1.9 million, and an excess of contributions over expenditures of almost $500,000. You'll notice the note there, $320,000 of that was used to pay down on the children's building principal. Here is the general fund. This is contributions again as of June 13th, 2.1, ministry expenditures 1.7, an excess of contributions over expenditures of $340,000. Again, that whole number that I showed you, out of that came the $320,000 toward the building. Another way we give and use the resources God has given us is toward benevolence. Of course, I'm not going to share any specifics with you, but let me just give you the big picture. This goes on without any fanfare, but you are very generous, and that allows the elders to be very generous. And here is a little bit of a sampling of that. As you look at the fiscal year to date, we have been able to help 73 in our church family, 24 in our community, and 8-plus internationally, including a number of Marines with the materials that we sent. We've dispersed right at $69,000 in this fiscal year in helping people with benevolence needs. Specific examples you gave to help support the ministry down at First Baptist Church of West after the explosion down there, $15,000. The seminary software, we just had that offering for $9,600. And we helped a Russian pastor relocate so that he graduated from seminary and now was going to go serve and is serving in a specific town. And we helped him relocate through Ernie Black, the Youth Village McFadden Christmas clothing. We helped him minister to those guys by giving small gifts to them of clothing that just is a way to express the love of Christ and to also build an entree for his ministry with these guys. We helped in the Philippines with a medical need, a West African missionary, as well as the resources for our Marines, those Bible resources that I mentioned to you we were going to send. Here's some categories: overseas benevolence, outreach benevolence, housing, medical, clothing, auto expenses, living expenses, and food. So those are some of the ways that you're giving through the Benevolence Fund. When you give, some of you give regularly to the Benevolence Fund as part of your giving, others of you, when we have the offerings connected with communion, and this is how that money is used. While we're talking about finances, the children's building. You'll remember that when we started talking about the children's building, the estimated cost was $5.5 million. The actual cost ended up being $5.3 million, but you were very generous, and God was generous with us, and we only had to finance $2.2 million of that $5.3 million, and we have paid down on the principal since July of 2010, $1.7 million. And you can see the loan balance. Last year on June 30, it was just over $1 million. And on June 30th of this year, $566,000. So really remarkable story of God's faithfulness and your generosity. So thank you. It gets a lot of use. Let me tell you, this week, we needed every square inch of that building. So thank you for your generosity in helping with that. Now let me move to some needs as we look to the future. One of those needs pertains to the worship center issues. Here is our worship attendance on a weekly average. You can see that a number of years ago it was down in the 500 range or so, and now the weekly average is right at 1,000. In fact, last Sunday, we were over 1,000 even during the summer in our worship center. That doesn't count the kids, of course, that aren't in here, but those who are in the three services in the worship center. When we saw this happening last summer, we said we need to do some things. At that point, the second service, we only had two services, and the second service had an average of 94% of capacity and an average, in addition to that, of 100 people in video overflow. And the elders said, look, we don't want to have people that have to go to video overflow. We wouldn't want to do that. We don't think that's healthy. We need people mixing with the whole body of Christ here as much as possible. And so we want to take steps to undo that. So the midterm solution to that problem began last fall. We started on September 8th with three identical AM services, an hour and 15 minutes long, theoretically anyway. And the trial period for that was up to a year. And as we're coming to the end of that year, I'm confident that based on what you'll see in a moment, that's going to continue. The start times for those services, 8, 9:30, and 11:05. I have to tell you that when we started, and call me one of little faith or whatever, but when we started, I told the elders, my greatest concern was in that 8 o'clock service, I'd be standing up here and Sheila would be sitting down there. And, you know, it'd be the two of us and the musicians. But, you know, I didn't want Sheila to be under heavy conviction every week. So that was my concern. But in God's goodness, the attendance has amazingly equalized. It's not exactly the same in all three services. The last service is the heaviest attended, but it is amazingly equal in terms of, we couldn't have planned it any better, is what I'm telling you. The Lord just sort of blessed our efforts and worked it out. Thank you for your willingness to flex and make changes as well. That was the midterm solution, but that is not a long-term solution. All right, it really isn't for the good of our church. And so this gives you an idea of what the elders are looking at. This is the worship center projections. Now let me explain this. First of all, we have established the capacity of this room based on reasonable sitting space. You know, the architects will tell you that you allot 21 inches to each person. I don't think many of us want 21 inches of space. So that's not what we're figuring on. We're figuring on a realistic capacity of this room based on the experience, what we've seen. When it's full and when people begin to be uncomfortable because it's so full, we're looking at that as capacity. In addition, when you look at this chart, understand that we're looking at 80% of capacity and above as being really too full on an ongoing basis. Basically, as you see here, a church industry standard for the point of attendance stagnation. In other words, people feel uncomfortably crowded and don't want to come is when you get to 80% and beyond. The other factor you need to know here is our administrator and the others who look at these numbers have looked at past year history and seen what our growth rate as a church is. And we're averaging and have for a number of years about 8% growth a year. And so they've built these numbers on those factors. So this is a realistic projection, and the Lord can do whatever He wants to do. We're not expecting Him to continue to grow the church. We just, as elders, realize we have to be realistic and plan based on what we have seen. And so this is what we see. With those projections in place, with a reasonable projection based on our run rate of attendance, in 2014-15, the first service will be at about 80% capacity, the second service around 81%, and the third service at 85%. By the way, you can see how well the percentages have divided among the services. In 15-16, that fiscal year, the first service will be at 85%, the second service at 88%, and the third service at 92%. And 1 year later, in 16-17, we'll be over 90% in all the services and at 99%, right at 100% of capacity. Think the fullest Christmas service or when we're having a special event like that. That's what we're talking about in terms of capacity in this room. So that's not sustainable, and we see that. And so we need a longer-term solution. With that in mind, and I told you about this last year, but it's bumped up to the front burner of the elders as we look to the future, because we're looking at those numbers realizing we have something to solve and we don't want to wait until it happens. So the long-term worship center solution has been, even since we began the three services, a new worship center. Our objective is to return to two services for everyone's sake, mine included. You know, I think I'm still sane in the third service, but I don't always know what I have said and haven't said. But in addition to that, just so we can all connect. You know, when you have two services, you can't all be in the same service, but in the interchange between the two services, you have the chance to run into everybody in the church. When you have three services, and you've felt this as I have, you don't have that chance. And so our objective is to return to two services. Preliminary planning for that new worship center is in process. As far as what we're looking at, I will mention it. Please don't hold us to this because it's very preliminary. But we're looking at something along a 1,200 to 1,300 seat auditorium, which, again, based on the projections we're seeing there, we wouldn't be rattling around in it. We wouldn't feel like, you know, hello out there. But but it, at the same time, would be adequate for some growth potential as well. The tentative goal for the completion of that, as we're talking about it now and beginning the planning stages, is 4 years, to have it completed in 2017. As we have more information to share, we will share more information. But this is where we are at this point. I just want you to be aware of it as we look to the future. If you wonder what it looks like, this is the proposed design. This was from some time ago. I don't foresee major changes in the basic look, but that could happen. Likely it will be in this vein, perhaps with some changes based on some changes to the interior, et cetera, as we get into the planning phase. But we're looking at traditional. And the reason for that is when you look at church buildings, you only have basically three options. Either you can go modern and build like churches are doing, and that is build like a box, a basic box, commercial-looking box, or you can build something that is Gothic, like you know, high raised ceiling, like White's Chapel down here. That's a Gothic, sort of modernized Gothic. Or you can build with this look, which is more the classic church look. And so those are the options. And the problem with building modern is some things that are modern last and become classic, but very few of them, and you don't know when you build them if that's going to be one of them. And we don't want to stick people in the next generation with something that's ugly and unattractive. And so there you go. I mean, how many times have you driven down the street and said, I know when that building was built, and they wish they hadn't built it. We don't want to be there. And so that's the reason we're looking at something a little more classic, where we won't, and the generation to follow us won't feel that way either. So anyway, those are that's a survey of what's going on in the life of the church. I want to end with a reference, and I love this reference. In the Gospels, there are only two mentions of the church, both of them in Matthew. And Jesus is here anticipating the church, which began, of course, at Pentecost. And he said this, and I love this. He says, up in Caesarea Philippi, he said to Simon Peter, who do you say that I am? He'd already asked them who others were saying. And Peter responds with amazing insight given him by the Spirit of God, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus turns it around, and he says to Peter, I also say to you that you are Peter. You are a little rock, is what Peter means in Aramaic and in Greek. And upon this massive boulder of your confession of the truth of who I am, I will build my church. Notice what he says. Jesus says, I, the church is his, will build. He will make sure that it happens, and it's his church, my church. Doesn't belong to me, doesn't belong to the elders, doesn't even really belong to you. We call it our church, and that's okay in the way we mean it. But ultimately, it is his church. And he's promised to build it. And the church isn't the buildings. We've talked about buildings. We're not talking about buildings. We're talking about you, the people of the church. He will build his church. We live in difficult, even uncertain times. We've talked about a little of that. We shouldn't have to be discussing some of those things here in a meeting, but we have to because we may in the near future face persecution. That's why I love how Jesus finishes the statement. He says, "And the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Hades is the Greek equivalent of Sheol. In fact, when the Septuagint translators translated Sheol in the Old Testament, they used the Greek word Hades. It's used in several different ways, but one of the main ways it's used is refer to the grave, to death. So Jesus says, the gates of the grave, the gates of the grave will not overpower. In other words, it's a Jewish expression for death itself. Jesus says, listen, they may bring persecution. It may even come to death. But understand that whatever comes in your culture, in your setting, the church will march on. Because I will build my church. And the worst thing they can do to you won't stop it. Won't overpower it. And so, folks, we are living in great times. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. Jesus has said he will build his church, and nothing our culture can do or will say will stop the advance of his kingdom and of his church. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. I hope that you will encourage our hearts as we look at what you are doing. We acknowledge that this is not our church in the ultimate sense of ownership. This is your church. And you've just given us the amazing privilege to serve you here. Each of us filling the role you've assigned us, using the gifts you've given us for the good of the body as a whole. Thank you, Father, for how these dear people that you have brought here do that and do that so well, so effectively. I pray, Father, that you would continue to build this church, to build the people that make up the church into a place where you are worshiped, into the temple, as it's described in the New Testament, where you are hallowed and worshiped. May we as a people be that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.